start off with something funny. I heard about a husband that suspected his wife was losing her hearing. One night, he positioned himself across the room from her as she sat in her favorite chair with her back to him. Very softly, he said, "Can you hear me?" When she didn't answer, he moved a little closer and repeated again, "Can you hear me?" He then moved closer, and for the third time, he said, "Can you hear me?" Still no answer. Finally, he got right behind her chair and said right into her ear, "Can you hear me?" Whereupon she looked him in the eye and said, "For the fourth time, yes." Our subject matter today is staying power. I want to talk to you about outlasting the opposition. We all have things that come against us in life. People aren't fair. We're dealing with an illness. Our business has slowed down during the lockdown of the coronavirus. We're praying, believing, doing the right thing, but just seems like nothing's changing. It's easy to get discouraged and think that things are never going to improve. You have to have staying power. You can't be weak, give up just because it's not happening on your timetable. Some of the people and circumstances that come against you, they're going to be pretty stubborn. You have to outlast that trouble at work. You have to outlast that difficulty in your marriage. You have to outlast that slow season in your finances. We want Krishna to deliver us from the attack, but if he's not changing it, then it's real simple. Just dig in your heels and outlast the attack. Sometimes we feel like Krishna's forgotten about us. In the past, we've seen him turn situations around, but this particular problem seems like it's just not going to go away. No. Our message is that Krishna is still going to turn it around, but this time he's going to do it in a different way. You have to have a holy determination, a made-up mind where you dig your heels in and say, "I'm in this for the long haul. Quitting is not an option. I'm going to outlast this sickness. I'm going to outlast the addiction. I'm going to outlast this injustice." This is what King Yudhisthira did in the Mahabharata. God favored him as the rightful heir to the throne of the known world at that time. He was the firstborn son of King Pandu and the legitimate heir. He became a loved king, a hero to his citizens. He even performed the Rajasuya sacrifice, which had only been performed one time before in thousands of years of history. To do this took untold amounts of wealth and influence. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, himself attended the spectacular event as a guest of honor. Yudhisthira had it all. Seemed like he was untouchable. But there was another man named Duryodhana. Duryodhana was envious of Yudhisthira. He was jealous. He could see all of God's favor on Yudhisthira's side. Wanted to do something to bring Yudhisthira down. In spite of Duryodhana's jealousy, you would have thought that the best thing for Krishna to do would just be to preserve the status quo. The king was just, Yudhisthira. The citizens were happy. Seemed like things couldn't get any better. And yet, inexplicably, Krishna allowed Duryodhana to upset the apple cart, so to speak, by cheating Yudhisthira and his brothers of everything in a crooked game of dice. Now, why couldn't Krishna have left well enough alone? The answer is that God doesn't do the things that we expect. For some victories, we're going to have to prove that we'll do the right thing when the wrong thing is happening. We have to be good to people when they're not being good to us. We have to stay in faith when it's unfair, when it's taking longer than we thought, when we don't see how it's going to work out. How badly do you want what God promised you? If you give up easily, that means that you just didn't want it badly enough. If you let people talk you out of it, if you let bad breaks discourage you, delays cause you to quit believing, That's going to keep you from Krishna's best. There are two kinds of faith, delivering faith and sustaining faith. Delivering faith is when Krishna instantly turns it around before it even gets bad. We don't have to wait. We don't have to endure. Krishna suddenly shows up in our life. We believe in delivering faith. And we've all experienced that. But most of the time, I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to need sustaining faith. Sustaining faith is when Krishna doesn't take the difficulty away, but he takes us through the difficulty, through the challenge. He's God. He could stop it from happening. He could turn it around right in the beginning before it got bad. He could change it in an instant. But if Krishna did that every time, our faith would never develop. We would never grow up like we should. Something happens in the struggle when our mind says it's never going to work out. But in our heart, we know that what Krishna promised, some or others on the way. Our mind is telling us, you're wasting your time. There's no use even believing. But against what your mind is telling you and what your emotions are dictating, some or other, you just keep on keeping on. You keep on trusting Krishna. You keep on thanking him that he's going to bring you eventually through and you're going to be there, the last man standing. Now that's called sustaining faith. Don't expect everything to be easy. Don't expect every person to be for you. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The victory is on the other side of the opposition. For you to get from here to there, it takes staying power. It takes a made-up mind. Someone who's not moved by circumstances. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he would often cite the story of the fight for the Bombay temple land as evidence that a person in Krishna consciousness can outlast the opposition. For almost 2 years, he'd struggled to secure this piece of land for Krishna's service. It had been an ordeal, a test of patience, a challenge of courage. But because he had not been bewildered by Maya illusion, he outlasted the opposition. What happened was, a Mr. and Mrs. Nair had taken from some of Prabhupada's disciples a large down payment for the sale of this land in a special area of Bombay called Juhu. Now, the Nairs had done this many times before. They had cheated the depositors by not going through with the sale, but keeping their deposits. Similarly, with ISKCON, or Prabhupada's disciples, they had no intention of going through the sale. They had this scheme going on where they took the down payments and then caused the buyers to forfeit. And they were able to defraud prospective buyers because they were very wealthy and they were extremely well connected in Bombay with the Bombay politicians and the police. Nothing like a few greaves palms to get your way. Now, Prabhupada, on the other hand, he had no political influence. He had not much money. But his faith in Krishna sustained him through a 2-year battle after which Mr. Nair lost his life in a heart attack and Mrs. Nair eventually caved in and apologized for her wrongdoings and sold him the land at a third of its market value. Jai. Giriraj Swami remembered the night the papers were finally signed. This is what he wrote. The room was hushed during the signing, and everybody felt as if a momentous event was taking place, just as if two great world powers were signing a treaty. After Mrs. Nair signed the document, everyone silently watched the papers being passed. She started to cry. Tamal Krishna Goswami quietly asked her why she was crying. She said she was remembering all the events that had taken place, the wrongs that she and her husband had done. She felt sorry, apologetic, regretful, ashamed. Prabhupada didn't rub it in. He didn't gloat. Just the opposite. He looked at her compassionately and understood her heart. He said, "Don't worry. Through you, Krishna was testing our determination. He was testing our staying power. You are just like my daughter. I will take care of you until the day you die." It's very intense, Giriraj Swami writes. The culmination of years of struggle. So for Prabhupada, the devotees, and Prabhupada's well-wishers, their dreams and desires and efforts over the past many years were being fulfilled. Mrs. Warrior, she was also a tenant on the Hare Krishna land, she said, the devotees were saying jai after the signing, and all of them were very happy. Then that evening, Prabhupada gave a lecture about the Bombay project. He gave an idea to all the people of how it would be all marble. There wouldn't be a single thing that wasn't built from marble. Some were asking, how would it be possible for everything to be marble? And Prabhupada explained that it was possible and that it could be done. He was visualizing the project, and everyone was thrilled to hear the way that he was describing it. It would be like one of the seven wonders of the world. People would be attracted from all over to come and see it. It would be a landmark in Bombay. Prabhupada explained the whole project as if he saw it in his mind's eye. And he said that after it was constructed, it will be more than what we could visualize or even imagine. It would be fantastic. After the feast, when everybody had departed, Prabhupada retired to his room, leaned back at his desk, and exclaimed to a few intimate devotees, "It was a good fight." It's easy, wouldn't you agree, to be disrespectful to people when they're being disrespectful to us. It's easy to want to vindicate ourselves. Here's my big chance, pay them back, get revenge, make them look bad after all they did to me. No. Prabhupada chose by his example, stay on the high road. Let God be your vindicator. Let him pay your enemies back. God sees what's happening. Krishna sees the injustice. He sees the wrongs. If you'll leave it up to Krishna, he'll vindicate you better than you could vindicate yourself. When you let Krishna fight your battles, he'll get you to where you're supposed to be. Some of the challenges that you're facing, things are not changing. You're being your best. Still, it's not improving. Like Yudhisthira, you have to outlast the opposition. Don't worry about defeating it. If you'll just outlast it, you'll be around to see the victory. Krishna will take care of your Duryodhanas. You just keep honoring Krishna, and you won't even have to fight. Krishna will move the wrong people out of the way. He'll open the doors that you couldn't open. He'll turn that situation in your health around. Now outlast the sickness. Outlast the loneliness. Outlast the trouble at work. You have to tap into your staying power. Scripture says, he who endures to the end will receive the prize. Don't give up in the middle. Don't get discouraged because it's not happening as fast as you would like. Your time is coming. Some of you might be familiar with the name William Wilberforce. Wilberforce, an Englishman, gave his life to fighting slavery. The battle consumed 46 years of his life. There was huge political and, as you can imagine, economic opposition to his work. Having slaves to do your back-bending work was very profitable for a great many successful people. The cause of abolishing the slave trade throughout the British Empire was defeated 11 times before it was finally passed in 1807. Slavery itself was not defeated decisively in Britain until 3 days before Wilberforce died in 1833. On top of this huge opposition, Wilberforce had chronic health issues. He had to deal with bad eyes, ulcerated bowels, and a curvature of the spine that was so bad that without a brace, his head would have been sitting on his chest. And yet, at his funeral, when people eulogized Wilberforce, what they talked about over and over and over again was his joy. They said, He was always the most cheerful Christian. No gloomy atmosphere or melancholy moroseness surrounded him. His sun appeared to be always shining. Our question today is, are you frustrated over what's not changing? You're praying, you're believing, and it's still not improving. You can't pray it away. You can't make it work out. Then what do? You have to outlast it. Learn to trust Krishna's timing. God knows what it is that he's promised you. He knows what he put in your heart. And in due season, he'll bring it to pass. I wonder if you're upset about an enemy that Krishna himself is causing to be stubborn. He's not letting it turn around yet because his intention is to use that situation to catapult you to a new level. Now all you can see is that nothing is improving. But what you can't see is what Krishna is about to do. What you can't see are the doors that he's about to open. The healing, the vindication, the favor, the promotion that's on its way. And yes, you may have stubborn enemies. The good news is that they're not too stubborn for our Krishna. He wouldn't have allowed it if he wasn't going to bring you out better. Get your fire back. Dig your heels in a little deeper. And show the enemy that you're more determined than he is. Krishna didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't let Duryodhana steal the kingdom because Duryodhana's more powerful than God. No, he was simply setting up the situation to show out in a major way. He allowed that opposition not to stop Yudhisthira, but to promote him even further. Now you have to be more stubborn in your faith than the stubborn things and people that come against you. That sickness may be stubborn. You can't seem to get well. That's okay. Say to yourself, I'm more stubborn than the sickness. I will live and not die. Father, thank you that healing is coming. Thank you that the number of my days you will fulfill. The financial difficulty may be stubborn. It's been hindering your family line for generations. Think in this way. I'm more stubborn. God has promised I will lend and not borrow. Lord, thank you that abundance is coming. Thank you that whatever I touch will prosper and succeed. Thank you that I will outlast this indebtedness. Alice Gray tells about a man who was in a terrible accident. In a matter of seconds, the man's world was turned upside down. The accident resulted in the loss of both of his legs and one arm. This man, instead of wallowing in self-pity, he resolved to look for ways to encourage other hurting people. What did he do? He began writing letters to a local prison. Each letter was full of all the hope and faith that this man could muster. And yet, he never knew that if anybody in the prison was even reading the letters. Prison policy did not allow prisoners to write back. Occasionally, he was tempted to give up, to get discouraged, to think, what good was it really doing? But one day, this man received a letter from a guard who censored the prisoner's mail. Here is what the guard wrote. Quote, Sir, please write on the best paper that you can afford. The letters are passed from cell to cell until they literally fall to pieces. The man's letters were appreciated by the prisoners. He was helping, but the person he ended up helping most was himself. Every time the opposition tells you no, you need to come right back and say yes one more time. Don't let the enemy have the last word. Keep speaking faith over your life. Keep declaring favor. Keep calling yourself blessed, healthy, strong, victorious. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You may have situations which don't look as if they'll ever work out. But Krishna is saying to you what he said to other heroes of faith. That depression, you're about to see it no more. That is not your destiny. That struggle in your finances, you can't seem to get ahead. You're about to see the enemy of lack no more. Krishna's about to release you into abundance. That sickness that's hindering you, that addiction, the loneliness, the anxiety, you might as well have a going away party because you're going to see them no more. This is a new day. Krishna's doing a new thing. Now you need to keep this tenacity in your spirit. It's not the time to be weak and slack off. It's not the time to get worn down. You've been armed with strength for every day. You are not weak. You are well able to outlast what's trying to stop you. Let me tell you a final, simple, moving story about a man named Bill. Bill was born in the 1930s. He was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. The doctor predicted that he would be mentally retarded, and he urged Bill's parents to have him institutionalized. Fortunately, they ignored the doctor's advice. At first, Bill attended a school for people with disabilities. Later, he gained entrance to a mainstream high school. This was an unusual accomplishment for a physically challenged person in that era. Then, with the help of a counselor, Bill began looking for a career. This effort resulted in little more than a series of humiliations. A job as a pharmacy store clerk lasted less than a day because Bill's trembling hands would not allow him to stock the shelves neatly. A job as a Goodwill Industries cashier lasted 3 days because Bill's palsied fingers kept hitting the wrong keys. His physical limitations also brought a job at the Salvation Army docks to a prompt end. And his slurred speech soon lost him his job answering phones at the Veterans Rehabilitation Center. After 5 months of one humiliation after another, Bill's counselor told him he was unemployable. He suggested that Bill stay home and collect disability. Another person, most people perhaps, in Bill's position may have taken this advice to heart. Bill knew deep down inside that he could be a productive member of society, even if he couldn't tie his own shoes without difficulty or button his own shirt cuffs. Having exhausted his patience with state counselors, Bill began combing the want ads himself. Naturally, this met with more rejection. Most times, he did not even get past the initial phone call. And then one day, Bill landed an interview with a company called Watkins Products. They sold door to door. Bill told the interviewer, "I know I can do this job." Don't forget, we're talking about an event that happened in 1961, decades before disability laws, when tolerance for people who were different was very low. Bill got his break, but prejudice being what it was, the sales manager assigned Bill to the worst, most hopeless territory in Portland, where people lived in dire poverty and the houses were falling down. And the poor man was working on commission. But he had a job. He packed his briefcase with brochures, hit the street at 9 a.m., and has not looked back since. Eventually, Bill Porter went on to become one of the top salesmen in the history of Watkins Products, their top salesman ever in the Northwest. ABC's 2020 told Bill's story to the nation on Christmas Eve in 1995, and it was later dramatized as an HBO movie starring William Macy. Bill Porter's perseverance and positive thinking have had an impact on many people. As one of his many fans wrote, quote, "I once read that the quality of one's life is not measured by the things one acquires, but by the lives one touches. Bill Porter has touched many lives. When you've done everything that you know how to do, you've done your best to get well, you've treated people good that weren't good to you, you've worked hard, but you haven't seen increase, what do? Do you get discouraged? Do you give up? Do you start thinking it's not going to happen? No. Our encouragement is just stand. Standing is trusting God, knowing that He's ultimately in control. When you're standing, you're not frustrated by what's not happening. When you're standing, you're not complaining about how long it's taking. You're at peace. You're at rest. When you're standing, you know that what Krishna started in your life, He's going to finish. Scripture exhorts us, stand firm, immovable. That means you're not moved by the medical report. You're not moved by how your child is acting. You're not moved by the contract that didn't go through. You're steadfast. You keep believing. You keep thanking Krishna. You keep being your best. Quitting is not an option for you. Giving up is not in your mindset. You know that what Krishna's promised is on the way. It hasn't happened yet. No big deal. I'm gonna keep standing. Someone asks you, are you still believing to get well? You've had that sickness a long time. I saw the medical report. What are you gonna do? What am I gonna do? I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna keep trusting Krishna. I'm gonna keep thanking Him that healing is coming. I'm going to keep declaring and affirming that I'm healthy, whole, and strong. Well, how long are you going to stand? I'm going to stand until I see what Krishna promised come to pass. Yudhisthira outlasted betrayals, arson, being lied about. He was cheated of his kingdom unfairly. He had to go into exile for 13 years. He had plenty of opportunities to give up. He could have said, Krishna, it's not fair. All these things have come against me. Instead, you know what? Yudhisthira had stubborn faith. He wasn't moved by the opposition. He wasn't moved by the bad breaks. He wasn't moved by how unfair it was. He just kept standing. He went on to endure 13 years in exile and retake the kingdom after the great Kurukshetra War. Now we need to say, like Yudhisthira, none of these things move me. I'm not moved by the economy. I'm not moved by what's not working out. I'm not moved by the lockdown. I have a made-up mind. I'm going to keep standing, keep trusting, keep believing. I'm going to outlast whatever it is that's trying to stop me. This is one time that it's good to be stubborn. You're not going to be talked out of what Krishna put in your heart. When life tries to push you down, step on your dream, squash on your health. You got to outlast what's trying to defeat you. The power in you is greater than any power that's trying to stop you. Scripture says, a good person falls 7 times and gets back up again. You have comeback power. God would not have allowed that adversity if it's going to finish you off. What it is just another step on your destiny. Some of you might remember the movie, the book, or the Broadway play, Zorba the Greek. You might remember that in the village where Zorba lived, the people worked for months to build a much-needed aqueduct which would bring water to the village. If they completed this important project, could be the beginning of a whole new future of prosperity and abundance in that village. However, near the time when the project was almost completed, a great tragedy occurred. The whole project collapsed. That's clearly a troublesome moment. How does Zorba react? Any of you remember how it was that Zorba the Greek this is Anthony Quinn in the original movie, begins to perform a dance that expresses his defiance of the disaster that has just taken place. One by one, all the people of the village begin to join him in the dance, also affirming that this troublesome moment will not defeat them. It is as though they were saying, we will not be a victim of these circumstances. We will rise victorious over them. Despair will not have our hearts. It will not have our souls. We'll focus on what we can do, and what we can do is not wallow in self-pity. The dance provides the energy for them to outlast defeat on their way to victory. Some of the challenges that you're facing, some of the things that are bothering you, that are keeping you from sleeping well at night, you're wondering why it's not changing. Krishna's not asking you to overcome it. He's just asking you to outlast it. It's all a part of his plan to get you to your destiny. Yes, the opposition may be stubborn. Yes, things are not improving yet. But stay encouraged. Krishna is in control. He has you in the palm of his hand. Now just do your part. Keep standing. Don't be moved by what's not changing. Have this stubborn faith. If you will do this, like Yudhisthira, like with Prabhupada, like with all the great heroes of faith, things are going to suddenly turn in your favor. What looked impossible, unreachable, too far away, suddenly that dream, that healing, that restoration suddenly did a 180-degree turn. Suddenly it's no longer running away from you. It's coming back in your direction, chasing you down. Why? Because you outlasted the opposition. Now get ready. Promotion, healing, vindication, restoration, new levels, the fullness of your destiny. This life and next life, you're going back to home, back to God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.